Welcome to the .NET NXT Recap. I am Zim, and today we'll be running through the episode that aired on May the 27th, 2015, taped back on May the 21st at Full Sail University. First things first, guys, I'm coming to you from a new audio setup, so hopefully you're able to notice a difference in quality. This is what you can expect going forward. No more using my cell phone, no more iPhone headphone microphone, nothing like that. It's real setup, real audio recorder, all that stuff. So, like I said, hopefully you guys are able to notice the difference. But with that little housekeeping note out of the way, let's just jump right into this week's show. This was the follow-up to, or I guess the fallout show for last week's NXT TakeOver Unstoppable Live special. I thought they did a decent job in some aspects as far as recapping that show goes. They always do a good job with video packages and the little, montage recaps that they give. I thought Kevin Owens did a pretty good job, not a pretty good job, I thought Kevin Owens did actually an exceptional job of following up on, not only on the TakeOver Live special and the things that happened there, but just everything that he's got on his plate. We'll get into that in the first segment, but just, I mean, Kevin Owens has five simultaneous feuds going on right now. Kevin Owens is feuding with Samoa Joe, Finn Balor, Hideo Itami, Sami Zayn, and John Cena. I don't know if that's an incrimination on the state of top-level heels in WWE/NXT, or if that's just a credit to how awesome Kevin Owens is as that top-level heel. So yeah, I'll get more into Kevin Owens as we get into this show, but everything else I just thought was kind of, aside from the video packages and Owens, I didn't think it was particularly good follow-up. We didn't really get to hear from the winners or losers. We got to see a couple of the winners in action, but they just won their big matches last week, so do we really need to see them go over in enhancement matches this week? Main event was, I'll give the main event credit for being a fresh feel, being Kevin Owens and Solomon Crowe. That's not a matchup that we've seen before. It's not something that I would have expected to see this quickly. That said, the way it went wasn't exactly ideal. I'm kind of just recapping everything, but I'll definitely get into it in more detail as we run through. So without any further ado, let's jump right in. Show opened with a pretty lengthy and very good video package recap of TakeOver Unstoppable, just going through all the matches, and then doing the showing the finish, but stopping the cut short and then, kind of fading to black before the move hits or whatever it was. So they weren't showing the money shots. They were just kind of recapping everything that happened and all the finishes. And of course, it concluded with the debut of Samoa Joe. We got the typical opening music video, and then we came inside the Full Sail Arena where the fans were chanting and cheering. Sami Zayn's music hit to a big pop, but Sami Zayn did not come out. Instead, NXT champion Kevin Owens came out. He had a John Cena, the champ is here, shirt on, was just riling up the crowd, kind of, half-heartedly mocking Sami Zayn's entrance. Had a big smile on his face when he came out, and the fans saw that it wasn't Zayn, it was him. They kind of did a little post-production editing here where they cut away from what was going on and they showed a small little recap of Owens laying out John Cena again this past week on Raw. And then they went to a graphic which hyped John Cena versus Kevin Owens this Sunday at Elimination Chamber. Then we went back into Full Sail where Kevin Owens was in the ring. He took a microphone and he said that, he was thinking about coming out here and offering an NXT Championship Open Challenge. But the fact is, he's not an insecure person, and he doesn't feel the need to defend his title just to prove himself. He said he likes when people earn their matches against him. Some good hypocrisy there. The crowd was singing, John Cena sucks. As Kevin Owens, this was actually pretty excellent. Owens was about to heel on the crowd, you could tell. And then they started singing, John Cena sucks, and the gears started turning in Owens' head. He wasn't going to let this crowd get behind him. He's the heel in these five feuds. So what's he do? He remarks, oh, it's funny that you'll chant John Cena sucks, but you won't chant Sami Zayn sucks, and he sucks too. The crowd booed pretty loudly at that one. That was a very, very clever line, just off the cuff, just to get the crowd to turn on him again. Owens, if they weren't careful, if they didn't do everything that they could between creative and the things that he goes out there and does, Kevin Owens could easily be the biggest babyface in NXT just because the combination of he's fighting for his family, he's been so dominant. He the points he's making about, doing things for the NXT Championship, yeah, okay, you can see through it, but he's not completely full of shit. And on top of that, with the smart fans and just the quality of his work, Kevin Owens could very easily be a big, big baby face, but he's doing such a good job at walking that line. And every time the crowd kind of steps over that line, he'll do something to shove him back onto the side where, okay, I'm the heel and you will boo me. Owen said that Referring to something that Hideo Itami said in the Takeover Hype video last week, Owen said that someone recently accused him of not being a good person, but that's just not true. In fact, he is a very good person. He said one thing, he said that one good thing that he's done is that nobody will have to ever hear that terrible Sami Zayn stupid music ever again. He said, "I'm not the bad guy." He said Zayn wanted that match. He asked for that match, and I warned that if that match happened, I would take Sami Zayn out. Well, the match happened, and I took Sami Zayn out. He said he did it because of the NXT Championship, and that's the only reason he did it. That doesn't make him a bad person. He said that when Samoa Joe came out at TakeOver, he chose to let him live because he's a good person. He said the idea that he's scared of Joe is as ridiculous as the colors of John Cena's merchandise, and he walked out of the ring because he wanted to give the fans a happy ending to this show, and that makes him a good person. He said if he steps into the ring with Samoa Joe, he's gonna drop him. And he turned his attention to John Cena quickly, and he said that Elimination Chamber, John Cena is going to find out the hard way that the real champ is here. And he pointed to the NXT Championship. William Regal's music hit, and the general manager made his way out. He came into the ring, warned Owens. He said, "You're walking a thin line." And Owens cut in real quick, and he just justified. He said, "Regal, I know I headbutted you at TakeOver, but I only did it because you put your hands on me first." Regal very quietly, very sternly said, "And that's the only reason you still work here." Regal ran through the guys that Kevin Owens had laid out, had actually had stretchered out between Adrian Neville, oh God, I'm drawing a blank now. Adrian Neville and oh Alex Riley and Sami Zayn multiple times and Hideo Itami. Owens said, "Hold on, hold on. I had nothing to do with Hideo Itami." Regal said, "Okay, sure, you didn't, whatever." Regal mentioned Sami Zayn and Evan said that he's over it. He just went over it. Zayn asked for the match. Regal made the match. It's their fault. It's not Owens. Suddenly, static sound filled the arena, and then music hit, and Solomon Crowe stormed down to the ring. Crowe took a microphone. He said, "I'm sick of this garbage." He said Owens claims that he wants people to earn it, but in reality, Owens is scared because he knows that anybody could lose, that Owens knows that he could lose that championship to anyone, anytime. Owens kind of mocked Solomon Crowe's voice, but Crowe kept going. He said, "After what Kevin Owens did to Sami Zayn, he's nothing but a piece of crap." Kevin Owens said that, "You know what, Crow? You're right. You talk about, people wanting to earn things. You just earned yourself an opportunity. If it's okay with William Regal." Regal said, "You guys are making my job easy. Tonight in the main event, Solomon Crow will take on Kevin Owens one-on-one." Owens said that, "I'm taking out Neville, Riley, Sami Zayn, and Sami Zayn already. Tonight, Solomon Crow's name gets added to that list." And that was the end of the segment. So, typically, just as kind of a standard, I tend to not be a fan of these lengthy opening promos to open NXT just because I think it's so reminiscent of Raw, and I think that it's one of the areas where NXT can very easily differentiate itself. That said, this was freaking awesome. Kevin Owens, I mentioned off the top, he's got five feuds going on right now, and he managed to touch on virtually all of them. Actually, something kind of an ongoing theme that I'm a little bit down on, he didn't mention Finn Balor, unless I just missed it in my coverage, but there wasn't a lot of focus on Finn Balor. And later on in the night, they're just. I'll get to Finn Balor when I get to Finn Balor. But, I mean, everything else in this promo was great. He touched on Sami Zayn, great promo. Touched on Hideo Itami, very subtle, but effective. Talked about the guys who he's had stretchered out. Turned attention to John Cena. And then first and foremost, continued that feud with Samoa Joe. So, put a microphone in Kevin Owens' hand. And then you especially put William Regal out there and get that dynamic going. Good things are going to happen. So, as a formatting thing, I don't want to see this become a standard. That said, I have no right to complain about this at all because it was totally fine. Solomon Crowe, he's fine in this role. I think it was just good storytelling to have somebody come out and interrupt and then make that the main event match. I guess it always goes to that old booking thing of, well, what was the main event going to be before they made this? But I don't know. It made sense. It was logical. It was pretty effective. And as much as Solomon Crowe seems like he's kind of plateaued, but getting a shot against Kevin Owens is a good thing for him. And if this felt fresh, if nothing else, this felt fresh. We haven't seen Crowe and Owens interact at all. We haven't seen them wrestle. Nothing of the sort. So this I'm high on the segment all the way around. I thought this was actually. Maybe I'll change my tune as I get through and kind of be reminded of things, but I think that might have been the best segment of the show. So yeah, that was actually worth going out of your way to see. That was really good. Went to the commentary booth where the guys Rich Brennan, Byron Saxton, and Corey Graves checked in. Then they threw to the video of Hideo Itami's injury angle from the parking lot that they aired at TakeOver a couple times. Then they went to an interview, well, I guess just like a video clip of Hideo Itami, who was sitting in a physical therapy room. He was clearly, I mean, I don't know if it was hours, maybe even just a day or two post-surgery. He had very fresh surgical tape on his shoulder, still, the surgical tape and the gauze that they put on right when you get out that hadn't been taken off yet. So sitting there with that on his shoulder and his arm in a sling, said that someone attacked him in the parking lot. Now he's injured. He said he had surgery, and when he gets back, there's going to be no stopping him. So, simple but effective follow-up, I guess. Just, this is fine. I guess Itami has, just according to what he's been posting on Twitter, looks like he's heading back to Japan for some time off, some recuperation time. So, looks like he's going to be out, anywhere 4, 6, 8 months. So, here's wishing him the best on a speedy, but more than a speedy, of a full recovery, because that's most important. Looking forward to seeing him come back, hopefully better than ever. And I'm also kind of curious to see, okay, do they kind of just, is Itami kind of out of the picture now, and when he comes back, it'll be a surprise return, or the new return vignettes? Or is this something where we're going to get occasional updates from Itami just on his status and condition? Kind of curious to see what route they choose to go with that. We went backstage where, actually, this not backstage, this was backstage at TakeOver. It was a clip that they had shot backstage at TakeOver where Renee Young interviewed Zack Ryder. Good God. Ryder said he's heard great things, so he had to come check out NXT. He said he got there and he was sitting next to some crazy guy named Mojo, but he loved the show. He started running through some of the matches, and suddenly that crazy guy Mojo came in, just ranting and raving, going completely bananas, jumping on Zack Ryder's back, jumping all over the place, just talking, making no sense. This is what we do in NXT. Every time, NXT, this is what we're all about. We stay hype. Good God, somebody needs to just put him down, whether it's, maybe just a tranquilizer dart. Nice tranquilizer dart to the throat, something like that. Help this guy, somebody. But he kept going and ranting and raving and going crazy, and then suddenly he grew tired of which I wrote, and I'm actually cracking myself up because it's pretty accurate. But basically, he came onto that interview set. He violated every square inch of that space with his body and his actions. Completely violated it. Just disturbed every aspect of it. And then once he had used up all that space, he was sick of it and declared, "I gotta go do something." And he ran off, and he went off to go rant and rave and jump around somewhere else. So, God, somebody needs to get Mojo some Ritalin or something. Or, like I said, a Trank dart to the throat. But, and Zack Ryder said, "And people think I'm over the top." Oh, that great, great. That was like, oh, that was like something out of an early 90s sitcom. This is just, Jesus Christ. And I'm sorry to tell you guys this, but we're gonna get a Zack Ryder Mojo Rawley tag team in the very near future, and it looks like it's something that they're going with. Like, these guys are gonna win. God help us all. Oh, we came back into the arena where Bayley's music hit. She came out to a big, big reaction. Emma's music hit, that initial do 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 do, but then it cut out and some new rock, not rock, but I guess some new like alternative rock music picked up. And so Emma's got a new music video, new music, new gear, all to accompany her new character. It's official. Evil Emma is here. And she was flanked, of course, by her new partner in crime, Dana Brooke. So the first match of the night was a singles match between Emma and Bayley. This was kind of basic. Emma worked the heat on Bayley for a while. Bayley made her come back, did a big back elbow in the corner, the scoop suplex, and then went up to the turnbuckles for that diving back elbow she does. I had my face in my laptop, so I'm not sure, and they didn't do a good job of recapping what exactly led to the finish. But Bayley was up on the second turnbuckle, and I'm not sure if she was distracted by Dana Brooke at ringside or not. But either way, Emma made it up to her feet and yanked Bayley off the ropes, applied the Emma Lock in the middle of the ring, and Bayley was forced to submit in about 5 minutes. Emma and Bayley are capable of having very, very good matches. This was not one of them. This was just I guess, kind of a paint by numbers, just kind of an uneventful, basic 5 minute match. These ladies are very capable. And this wasn't, bad by any means at all, but it was just kind of there. This was more so, I think, to set up the post-match angle than anything else, because afterwards, Emma and Dana Brooke were looking to put a beating on Bayley. Charlotte's music hit, and she ran down to make the save. That didn't work out so well, though. Bayley was already down. She had, lost the match and then taken a beating. And then Charlotte came in, and she actually got the better of Dana Brooke on the ramp and then went after Emma in the ring. But before long, the numbers game caught up to her. She ended up taking a beating. And then Dana Brooke laid her out with that Samoan driver that she uses for a finish. Crowd booed. Emma and Dana Brooke stood tall as Bayley and Charlotte were laid out in the ring. So, effective post-match angle, just as far as continuing the Emma versus Bayley feud, continuing the Dana Brooke versus Charlotte feud. And, this was just fine as far as that goes. It was a better angle than it was a match or anything else, really. It was fine. We went to the commentators recapping Rhino versus Baron Corbin from TakeOver Unstoppable. The titular Rhino versus Baron Corbin. Unstoppable Rhino versus Unstoppable Baron Corbin at TakeOver Unstoppable. We went backstage again at a TakeOver interview after the match with Baron Corbin. Said he talked about, said he just proved how he's the only unstoppable force in NXT. Suddenly Rhino stormed in, got up in his face, and was really intense, but kind of smiling. He said, "That was fun. We should do it again sometime soon." And then he walked off. So looks like we haven't seen the last of Rhino and Baron Corbin. Hooray. Kevin Owens versus Solomon Crowe was hyped as the main event. And then up next, we got a video package entitled Made in Ireland. Maiden Ireland. Get it? Made in Ireland. Made in Ireland. It was a Becky Lynch hype video. Like I said, we got that hype video. It was very similar, if not the same, as one of the packages that they aired going in to TakeOver to kind of build her up. Came back into the arena where the team of Elias Sampson and Mike Rawless were already in the ring. And then I had a seizure, so I assume that means the NXT Tag Team Champions were out next, accompanied by Alexa Bliss, who is now wearing matching gear. So the second match of the night, non-title match, tag champs Blake and Murphy versus Elias Sampson and Mike Rawless. This was kind of uneventful also. Par for the course for the tag division at this point. Blake and Murphy got the better of the jobbers early. One guy made a comeback, hit a couple of hip tosses on the guys, but that was pretty much it. Blake and Murphy hit their suplex splash combo for the win in about 3 minutes. Murphy flubbed the suplex part, like he lifted him and he started doing the running suplex part, but he couldn't keep the balance, so he had to set him down. And then he just picked him up and did a regular suplex. And then Blake came off the top with the splash, so it was a little bit sloppy. Whatever. Afterwards, Blake and Murphy laid out Samson, and Alexa Bliss went up to the top rope, and she flew off with the Sparkle Splash, because that's a very, very heelish name for a move. It's the Vader Salt, but she really, really needs to rename the Sparkle Splash. But she did that onto Samson. Crowd actually applauded that, and Tag Champs and Bliss stood tall in the ring to close the segment. This was kind of, I talk about how we didn't get to hear from any of the winners and the losers, or from any of the winners on this week's show coming out of TakeOver, and this was kind of one of those. I guess you're gonna have this match just as an enhancement thing and kind of show off Alexa Bliss as the new third member of that group. But I think, maybe just hearing from them in a backstage interview, just talking about their win and maybe what's next. I don't know. After you come off a title defense, is it really necessary to go out there and have an enhancement win over kind of a no-name tag team? Like I said, I understand wanting to introduce Bliss as a part of the group right off the bat, but at the same time, it just seems a little bit strange that they would have to come out here and work a match the week after they defended their title successfully. We went to the commentators recapping Finn Balor versus Tyler Breeze at TakeOver, and they, of course, noted that by winning the match, Finn Balor had earned himself a future NXT Championship match, and he was hyped to be in action next, Finn Balor, that is. Before that, however, we went backstage where Blake Murphy and Bliss were standing by with Devon Taylor. Devon Taylor asked Alexa Bliss something, and Bliss mocked her and said, "Oh, good question, Devon. Did they teach you that in journalism school?" So then we she said that I guess the question was how did they end up, what kind of how did they end up together? Bliss said that Blake and Murphy are winners. She's a winner. Bullshit. And she said the winners attract each other. I don't mean any disrespect to Bliss. I just mean look at her win-loss record in NXT. But anyway, she said winners attract each other. And then she said, what about Carmella? Carmella comes from Staten Island. She takes pride in that. You know what Staten Island is known for? It's garbage dump. She said, when I'm done with Carmella, she'll be sent right back pack into that garbage dump she came from. Came back into the arena. Ty Dillinger was already in waiting in the ring. This was not, unfortunately, the very entertaining Perfect 10 Ty Dillinger that a lot of people got the chance to see during the Well, I guess you're getting to see during the NXT Live event tour, both through the Northeast and the one they're doing in Florida. He's doing a fun little gimmick called Perfect 10, where he comes out with like scorecards and he scores his own moves and stuff like that. It's a little bit quirky, but certainly better than this jobber Ty Dillinger here. Up next, enter Finn Balor for the third match of the night. Singles match, Finn Balor, Ty Dillinger. Very, very basic. Balor hit his, the stuff that he does early on, his drop kicks and stuff like that. Ty Dillinger came back, worked the heat on him for a little bit. Finn Balor made his comeback. Running chip. Oh, running chop. Whoops. I made some typos this week, but I'm not going to go back and fix any of them because I'm lazy. Anyway, Finn Balor hit a hesitation drop kick, hit the sling blade, hit the shotgun drop kick, hit the coup de grace. Finn Balor squashed Ty Dillinger. Well, kind of a squash. In about 2 minutes 45 seconds. Not much more than a simple showcase for Finn Balor. I mean, this was just him showing off how he wins matches, basically. Just you know what I mean? He gets to do a little bit of crowd pleasing stuff early, takes the heat, makes his comeback. That's that. Again, kind of similar to Blake and Murphy. This guy just won the number one contendership. This guy just won a big match last week. Why is he coming out here and facing a jobber? Why don't we get to hear from him about maybe what he's thinking about gearing up for a shot at that NXT title? Maybe talk about when he's thinking about going after it. Maybe, even do a little interview clip where he says, I won that title shot and now I want to run through some guys. I want to build my momentum up and then I want to get that title shot. And then you could have done this match no problem. It just felt a little bit weird, like, one step forward, two steps back or something. Maybe two steps forward, one step back. Either way, having Finn Balor face Ty Dillinger here just felt like a time filler kind of pointless thing. There are more kind of prevalent, relevant things that they could have done with Finn Balor. We had the main event hyped up next, but before that, we went to the WWE Performance Center where the interviewer Greg Hamilton approached Jason Jordan. Jordan was not super pleased about being bothered, but he gave Greg some of his time anyway. Jordan said that he's got a what did I don't even remember what Greg asked him. I need to start writing down these questions, but I oh well. Jason Jordan said that he's got a game plan going forward and he found himself a perfect partner. Suddenly, Chad Gable walked up. This is not a guy who we've really been introduced to, but it was Chad Gable. He said that Jason Jordan, if you're talking about perfect partner, must be talking about him. He introduced himself, said, "You know about my wrestling background. I was in the Olympics. You've heard of those." And then he held up a towel which had Gable written on it. He said, "I'm Chad Gable." He said, Jordan said that, "Thanks, but I've already found myself a partner. If I need any extra help, I'll keep you in mind." Kind of blew Chad Gable off. Gable kind of just smirked, tossed the towel to Jason Jordan, and Jordan said, "Thanks, Mean Joe." No, actually, he didn't. Gabriel tossed him the towel and said that, "I've got plenty of those, so you can go ahead and keep it." Gable left. Jordan looked at the towel, kind of disgusted, and then just tossed it aside, and then he left as well. Is this maybe the first indication we're getting of Shoot Nation? Can I keep my fingers crossed that that might be what we're getting? Around the live event tours, they've been putting together, they've put together a stable, kind of a Freebird Rules kind of stable of all the guys with the extensive wrestling amateur backgrounds. I know Jason Jordan and Chad Gable have been in it. I believe Sawyer Fulton has been in it. God, I know there's maybe two or three other guys in that group, and I'm drawing a blank, unfortunately. And I don't want to just start naming off guys because I don't know if I'll be right. But either way, Jason Jordan, Chad Gable, Sawyer Fulton, guys like that are part of this group around the live event scene. And so I could see, maybe Jordan gets his new partner, and it's one of the other members of Shoot Nation, and maybe they're not super successful, so then maybe they do call in Chad Gable, who then kind of starts recruiting the other guys. I don't know if this is what it's going to lead to, or if it'll just lead to a Jason Jordan tag team, but I could see this over kind of the near future leading to kind of the emergence of what I think needs a new name, but of the Shoot Nation on the NXT television show. Main event time is we got the NXT champion Kevin Owens making his entrance, and Solomon Crowe was out next for the fourth match of the night, non-title, of course. As always, Kevin Owens rolled to ringside at the bell, and then beat up Crowe at ringside when Crowe went after him, went back into the ring, and Owens was in control. Went to the first break of the show, he came back, Owens was still in control. Owens just bullying Solomon Crowe. He would just kind of beat on him, threw him out of the ring. And then just waited in the ring and just stood there. Crowe made it back into the ring for the eight count. Owens grabs him, throws him right back out of the ring, and Owens has and Crow had to make it back in for the count again. When he did that, this is actually really good. Owens threw him out of the ring and he yells, "Show me you belong in here." And Crow, like I said, had to make it back into the ring. So throughout this whole thing, Owens just bullying Crow, bullying Crow, bullying Crow. Crow finally got back into the ring, and then he started to make a little bit of a comeback. He fired off some kicks, hit a good-looking running high knee in the corner, then he hit the ropes looking to follow up, build up a head of steam, but Owens turned him inside out with a clothesline. Running senton, pop-up powerbomb. Kevin Owens over Solomon Crow. About 5.5 minutes. Not necessarily ideal for the Solomon Crow character, but I think just as kind of a trend in the last month or two, Solomon Crow looks way better in defeat than he does in his wins. I can't say that that's like he is better losing than he is winning, but I can say that the two losses we've seen from Solomon Crow have been much, much, much more impressive than the two wins we've seen so far. So, kind of a win-lose thing there. Afterwards, Owens stood over Crow with the NXT title held high, and then he was looking to follow up on the promise he made earlier in the night. He wanted to add Solomon Crow's name added to that stretcher list. So he dumped him out to ringside, set him up for the apron powerbomb, got ready to hoist him, then Samoa Joe's music hit. And instead of just, because Samoa Joe, he comes out to make these saves, but he is in no rush. He is on Samoa Joe time. So I kind of the same thing that was in the back of my mind at TakeOver when Joe came out. I guess you could say maybe it was the surprise of Joe appearing that Kevin Owens stopped, but why didn't Owens just continue to beat the shit out of Sami Zayn with the chair until Joe finally hit the ring 5 minutes later? Same thing here. Why didn't Owens just powerbomb Solomon Crow onto the apron for the 5 minute until the 5 minutes when Samoa Joe finally made it down to the ring? A little nitpick aside. Crowd chanted Joe. Joe slowly but steadily made his way to the ring. Jumped up onto the apron, and the two had a little bit of a stare down. And then Joe decided he was going to get in the ring, and Owens decided, "Well, I've had enough of this." Grabbed his title and ditched the ring. Once he was a safe distance at the top of the ramp, he told Joe, "That was a warning!" Then he yelled, "The champ is here!" And he waved his hand in front of his face, and he headed backstage. Crowd chanted for Joe. Joe held firm in the ring, and that was the way the show closed. So, the match kind of was what it was. It was kind of par for the course, what you'd expect for a Kevin Owens match. Crow looked good selling. He's a really, really good seller. Shows some pretty decent fire from fighting from underneath. He doesn't have that natural underdog charisma like a guy like Sami Zayn would have, but he's definitely a great seller. And so this was fine while it lasted. And the post-match angle was kind of just rinse and repeat from TakeOver. It was fine. It wasn't great, but it was fine. So as I get to the end of the show, because that is the end of the show, I very, very confident saying that opening promo with Kevin Owens was awesome. It was the best thing on this show. And really, I mean, I don't know why you're listening to the show if you haven't listening to this audio if you haven't watched the show, but for whatever reason, if you haven't, I think the opening promo is probably like the only thing that's really worth going out of your way to see. Everything else is fine and not particularly bad, but not the best follow-up. The video packages were good, but yeah, like I said, other than that opening promo from Kevin Owens and William Regal, everything else was just, kind of all right. I don't really know what else I have to say. I mean, a couple of high notes. I think Emma's continuing evolution is fun to watch. I'm enjoying that. I'm very pleased with the way that she's kind of evolved herself in so many aspects of her game. Again, Kevin Owens was the shining star of this show. And other than that, you know what I mean? Nobody else really got a chance to shine or stand out. Nobody really got super effective follow-up other than what I've mentioned from TakeOver. So hopefully they do a better job in coming weeks. It was weird that there was an absence of I getting to hear from Sasha Banks following her title retention. We didn't get to hear from Tyler Breeze coming off of his loss. Obviously, we didn't get to hear from Sami Zayn. They're going to build that up. I don't know. It just felt like there was kind of, in addition to just kind of things just being there that didn't necessarily need to be there, felt like there was a little bit of a lack of star power on this show, too. I mean, I guess Kevin Owens and Finn Balor, stars are there, but I don't know. It didn't feel as packed as it had in weeks past. So, not super high on this show. Not super down on it either. It's kind of hard to be super down on NXT when there's never anything remarkably bad, but The show was just kind of there. And as far as follow-up, maybe it was a little bit of a letdown. But like I said, that opening promo was awesome. Kevin Owens having five programs right now is great. It's so fun to watch. So, yeah, I'm enjoying just about everything that Kevin Owens is a part of right now. And it's not because he's Kevin Owens, it's because of the quality of work he's putting in. So very much looking forward to seeing what the near and even long-term future holds for Kevin Owens. But yeah. All right, well, that's gonna do it for me today. Hopefully you guys have enjoyed this new sound quality. This is what you can expect going forward. I won't be able to tell if there's a difference because, God, I'm not vain enough to go back and listen to myself. But if this is remarkably different, maybe you want to tweet me, let me know, or just shoot me a message in the forum, whatever it is. Or don't. Maybe just enjoy it silently, and that's fine too. All right, guys, I'll be talking to you again next week, if not sooner. Take care.